Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors rescued their season with a, I don't even know, man. 104-103 win in Game 3, a ridiculous game, an instant classic. And OG Anunoby hits the game-winning three. But before I go on to recap this banger of a game, let me tell you, look, I know you're thinking right now, ever since OG Anunoby hit that three, you can't get buckets out of your head, okay? And we're not just talking about basketball buckets. We're talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. You watch them, you crave them. That's how it works. I get it. It happens to me all the time. One minute I'm talking about buckets on the podcast. The next minute I'm daydreaming about the $10 money bucket for two. I mean, how could you get your mind off four pieces of chicken, two original recipe tenders, two individual fries, two dips, and of course, a popcorn chicken. But don't worry, it's normal. Even happens to most NBA players during actual games. Actually, I think the Celtics were thinking about KFC buckets when they lost OG wide open for three. It just means you're hungry. So order your bucket online at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. So, what a game. What a game. OG and Obi. Let's start at the end. Okay, so the Raptors, they fight, they scrap, they claw. It is very similar to Game 2. All right, Raptors defensively did enough. You know, they played a little bit different defensively, but they did enough in Game 2 to win that game. Obviously, they couldn't do it at the end. It was a bit of a heartbreaker. And then today, kind of the same deal. And the Raptors were able to, well, they were down two with like 35 seconds left. They drop a play. It was a 2-for-1. They get Fred VanVleet pulling out for three. He misses it. I believe OG collects the rebound. They kick it back out to Fred. Fred drives on Daniel Theis. Really, really difficult left-handed finish through contact. Gets the bucket to drop. Fred is asking for the foul. Really should have been a foul. Their ref swallowed a whistle. Fred was lucky to make that basket. So it's a tie game. Celtics decide no timeout. Pretty smart move by Brad Stevens. Okay, no timeout. Kemba Walker literally just dribbles around, comes off a screen, creates a bunch of havoc, and eventually he draws two guys to him, finds Daniel Theis wide open under the rim. Daniel Theis dunks it. 0.5 seconds left. The Celtics are up two. Their whole season, I mean, the Raptors' whole entire season looked to be done. Done. You do not come out of an 0-3 hole. I don't think that's even been done before. So, yeah. 0.5 seconds. And then, you know, the scenes then, I mean, the Celtics, they were dancing, prancing, doing whatever, okay? They were hype. Obviously, they're hype, man. They were just about to go up 3-0. They were going to be undefeated throughout the whole playoffs. This is going to be better than the Kobe and Shaq Lakers, okay? And they were celebrating on their bench. Meanwhile, the camera panned over to the Raptors bench, and you have Marc Gasol sitting there like the great thinking man statue, and he's just like, man, I don't know. I can't believe it's come down to this. You know, it was a bit of a defensive breakdown. Kemba was really hot all game. You had to send two at him. You have to come up as a center. It was just a breakdown, okay? It was heartbreaking. But what do the Raptors do? They go to the timeout. They drop a play. Now, coming out of the play, I was a little confused. Because, first off, Kyle Lowry was the game-leading scorer here. He had 31 points. He was incredible. And I'll talk lots about Kyle, but Kyle's the game-leading scorer. He's inbounding the ball. And I was thinking, out of all people want taking the shot, it probably would be Kyle for the Raptors. But Kyle's inbounding the ball. And Nick Nurse is literally a coach of the year. Let's just trust where this thing goes. So the play's drawn up. Okay, you have OG in the strong side corner, in the right corner at the start of the play. You have Mark and Pascal, and you have Fred all on the far side of the floor. Mark sets a screen for Fred VanVleet. The Celtics switch that. They contain that. Then Mark moves to go set a screen for Pascal Siakam. The Celtics pretty much manage that as well. And what they didn't notice during this time, obviously there was only 0.5 seconds left. They were afraid of Marc Gasol going to the rim. They were afraid of, you know, Fred coming to the strong side corner. They were afraid of Pascal coming out to the top of the floor. What they lost track of during all this time. When they were trying to switch stuff, they were trying to play zone, whatever they're trying to do, they lost track of OG Anunoby. Because if you go back and watch this thing in real time, OG Anunoby at the start of the possession, before the ball is even inbounded, all right, the ref's literally in the process of handing the ball to Kyle on the sideline. What you notice is OG Anunoby moves from the strong side corner to the weak side corner. He goes literally just crawls and slowly cuts. It's not even a fast cut or anything like that, okay, because that would actually alert the defense. He moves slowly from one end of the floor to the other end, and he waits for all the action up top to shift. The Celtics are focused on the three guys involved there, Gasol, Siakam, Fred, and what they don't see is that Jason Tatum wanted to stay in his spot, wanted to cover Fred, but then all of a sudden you have Daniel Tice also on to cover Fred. And what they completely lost track of was the fact that OG Anunoby was wide open on the other side of the floor. Now, there is an issue because the Celtics, the big brain Brad Stevens, okay, bigger brain than me even, okay, with my big ass head, all right, decided to go with Taco Fall guarding the inbound. Now, of course, Taco has not even been active in the series, but Vincent Poirier, who I thought was a sparkling drink, was actually a French center, and he's apparently expecting a child, so congratulations to him and his partner and his family. But this man Vincent, okay, was out, okay, so they had to start Taco Fall, or they had to put Taco Fall in, and it was actually good, because in this situation you want to have a big center guarding the inbound, okay? So there's a lot of things you could do here. First off, you can have your five defenders trying to guard without nobody putting pressure on the inbound, all right? But in this case, big brain Brad Stevens decides to put his 7'5" center, Taco Fall, on the inbounder. Now, I have to remind you guys that Kyle Lowry is 6 foot generously. I've stood beside Kyle many times. I'm 6'1", 6'2". I'm definitely taller than Kyle, and that doesn't even include this little thing at the top, okay? Kyle is a generous 6 foot. Kyle's like the 6 foot dudes that you see on Tinder, apparently. But anyway, so you have 6 foot Kyle Lowry trying to inbound the ball over 7'5" Taco Fall, who I'm pretty sure when he reaches up, when he puts his hands up to the sky and tries to deny, he's pretty much touching the rim, okay? So we're pretty much talking about a guy with a 9 foot, 10 foot standing reach. Now, you have OG Anunoby open on the other side. Everybody else, like I mentioned, on the Celtics, they're focused on the rest of the guys. They lose track of OG. Only player in the entire gym who knew that OG was open was Kyle Lowry, who throws this perfect pass over top of 7'5" Taco Fall and right into OG Anunoby's hands for the shot. Now, I have to remind you the context here. There's only 0.5 seconds left on the clock. So, you know, really, you can get a clean catch and shoot off in about 0.3, I think that's probably like the fastest you can possibly get it off. You have 0.5, so there's no margin for error whatsoever. Kyle Lowry is throwing this pass over a 7'5" guy, and it goes across the whole court, and it lands perfectly in OG Anunoby's shooting pocket, so he can go up, shoot it. Now, Jaylen Brown, even though he was late and out of position, he was still able to come over with a crazy good contest. Nearly blocked the shot. OG had to rush the shot a little bit. I mean, he rushed it because it was 0.5. But because the pass was perfect, OG Anunoby was able to catch it. He was able to shoot it, and it went in. It was one of those miracle shots. It's not as lit as the four-bounce game winner to end the series by Kawhi, but damn it, man. I mean, if we're going to make these OG Kawhi comparisons, this is the first time you can really make that, okay? Because, I mean, OG was just so cool when he made the shot, because right afterwards, you know, he makes the shot, the whole Raptors crowd goes wild, the crowd being the guys on the bench, and of course they have some family there too, so that's great. But, you know, we're talking about an empty gym, so the rest of the Raptors, everyone jumps off, you know, goes over the mob OG, the camera pans to OG, the first guy to get to him is Fred, but in that split second before Fred gets to OG, OG is there, emotionless. Right, and that's what it takes. That's what it takes to be a cold-blooded Damian Lillard waving goodbye at Paul George level of just calm in that, you know what? He's going to make the shot. And I love this quote from OG after the game where they were asking him, like, you know, how are you able to stay so cool? And he was like, I don't shoot anything and expect to miss. You know what I mean? So, man, OG. And honestly, I'm really happy that OG made the shot, because OG has been probably the Raptors' most consistent player in terms of what role you've expected from him in the three-game series. OG in game one had a couple of dunks, 12 points, defended pretty well. Rest of the team didn't show up. It is what it is. OG's not going to win a game by himself. Game two, fantastic. Scores a career high, playoff high, 20 points. A number of big plays. You know, get the spin move on Robert Williams. You got the sidestep three over, what's his name? Jason Tatum. Sorry, I forgot about this man for a while. It's hard to remember a guy who shoots 5 of 18. And then, of course, another three after jab-stepping Jaylen Brown, who decided not to close out. I mean, again, you probably should close out on OG. In the famous words of Serge Ibaka, you better stop OG. You better stop OG, okay? And then today, OG was fantastic. You know how good OG was? OG was so good that Nick Nurse played OG Anunoby the first 15 minutes of the game, okay? They were like, I don't care. I need OG in the game. If he's dead tired, then he could come out for a second, but otherwise, I need OG in the game. OG finishes this game playing 45 minutes and 28 seconds. And he was absolutely vital in all of those because you have a guy giving you 10 rebounds, right? The guy who, you know, he gives you 3 out of 5 from the three-point line. It's just the defense that he gave you, too. The 3 steals, 2 blocks, and the Raptors are asking a lot from OG. You know, they were playing a lot of zone, some triangle and two at some points. You know, some mostly box and one, some, like, you know, just very straight sort of like sort of a 2-1-2 kind of zone there. OG had to be in the middle of that. He had to guard a lot of players. He pretty much guarded just about every single player on that team. And of course, don't forget this, OG also came up with the offensive rebound to set up Fred for the second last basket of the game, because Fred took a three, whatever, it was a 2-for-1, but still, the shot missed. OG had to collect that rebound for Fred to even eventually get the game tied before Kemba even dribbled around and found Tice for the dunk. So he got the key rebound there, and of course he hits the shot. And I'm so happy for OG because he is really coming into his own. Coming into this playoffs, the one guy you were really worried about. I mean, there's a couple guys to worry about because it is kind of an unproven team in terms of this iteration of the team in the playoff setting, right? But the one guy you were worried about is OG Anunoby. You know, what's he going to do? Defense is going to leave him. You're going to need him, especially, look, in this series, you're going to need him to guard a lot of Jason Tatum. You need him to guard a lot of Jaylen Brown. You need to have him. I mean, he's such an important piece defensively. He's probably the Raptors' most important defender right now. You know, you need him to do that in the next round, whoever it is, whether it's Miami with Jimmy Butler or if it's, if Coach Bug could come back from the 0-2 deficit, which I hardly doubt because he's going to play Giannis 32 minutes next game as a max. You know, if somehow Milwaukee pulls that upside off, Milwaukee is going to have Giannis out there, so you're going to need OG. And then, of course, if you go to the finals, then you're looking at, what, Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James. So you're going to be looking at a lot of OG Anunoby. And this is going to be, if the Raptors are going to make it far in the playoffs, it's going to be because OG Anunoby is breaking out. And what we are seeing right now is OG Anunoby is breaking out. This man has shows no fear. None, right? None. Literally no one else in the last game, game two, could score, could shoot a three. No one could shoot a three. All right, the Raptors were looking like the Houston Rockets in a clutch game. They were missing every three, except OG gives you 4 threes. And then today, OG, man, what a shot. And I'm so happy for the guy, man. And again, these legendary performances on and off the floor, you know, with his post-game press conferences. And again, the guy played 45 minutes, guarded everybody, hit the key shot. And, you know, he was so good that it even overlooks the fact that Kyle Lowry had another, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, how many times have I said Kyle Lowry? If you listen to this podcast dating back to, like, the Raps Republic days, I don't know how many times I've said this has been the best game of Kyle Lowry's career. I think I said it about the Kyle Lowry 30-point comeback in the fourth quarter. That I said perhaps that was the best quarter he's ever played. You know, game six in the NBA Finals, I said something there. I mean, the key quote from that game was Kawhi Leonard in that Rachel Nichols interview saying, you know, Kyle was the finals MVP tonight. You know what I mean? And that was true. Kyle was amazing in that one. You know, I when you listen to the 2016 episode, game seven, second round, you know, when Kyle Lowry has, what, 35 against the Miami Heat to clinch that game seven, I think I said it about him then, and it's just, I've said it many times, but damn, this is right up there, man. First off, He leads the team in scoring 31 points, right? Raptors not scoring well as a team as a whole. The Celtics are really good defensively. The Raptors didn't even score well today, generally speaking. But the guy who got there for the Raptors was Kyle Lowry, 31 points. But it's not even necessarily that. It's the leadership that he showed today. Because what you needed today was a leader to carry you from, you know what, you have that terrible loss in game two. It's so deflating. You have a lot of guys who are struggling. What are you going to do? Who is going to come in and lead your team? And of course, there should have been no doubt, but now there is officially no doubt. Kyle Lowry is always going to lead this team. And he came out very strong, scoring 10 of the Raptors' first 12 points. I believe the other 2 points were Marc Gasol banking in a mid-range jumper. Kyle was, you know, hot, you know, aggressive, firm. You know, he, in transition, setting the pace for the Raptors, playing fast. You know, pretty much the only guy for the Raptors who could actually post up and score. You know, Pascal struggles with that, but somehow Kyle Lowry, 6 foot tall, generously can post up and score over anybody. And just the aggression. And then in the fourth quarter, too, clutch plays, man. Pull up three, you know, one of his 2 threes, 2 of 8 from 3 today. One of his 2 threes, pull up three off the high screen, losing Marcus Smart, and then hitting the three right over Daniel Tice. And then you got 2 layups within 2 minutes of the fourth quarter at the very end. One where he sort of drives by. Kemba's there on the contest. Somehow Kemba Walker's never fouled anybody in his life. He can do whatever he wants on the contest. It's never a foul on Kemba Walker, okay, but whatever. Kyle Lowry drives through Kemba for a contested layup, and then another time, he turns the corner on Daniel Tice and beats him to the spot before Tice blocks the shot for another key basket there. And on top of that, you have the assist, the game-winning assist. But it's just the leadership, the mentality, because the Raptors were ragged in this game. They were ragged in the first half. They were making so many errors. The Celtics kind of like played a little bit soft, you know, like they were, of course, you can credit the Raptors. I think you can, but you know, the Raptors were not playing at their best, and the Celtics weren't playing at their best either, and the Celtics were still up. And the only reason the Raptors were able to stay in the game was because of Kyle Lowry. He gave the Raptors an early lead. When he took a little quick breather, the Celtics came right back. And I mean quick because he only sat for 1 minute and 31 seconds of this game. And, yeah, I mean, this man played the entire second half, man. Like, this guy is just incredible. Incredible leader. The mentality, the focus that he showed, you know, defensively, you know, coming up with the 2 steals, you know, you know, taking charges. You know, of course, they don't call that for the Celtics. They only call that in favor of the Celtics, but whatever. Yeah, Kyle was just everywhere. Phenomenal. You know, the assists, you know, getting Mark going downhill to the basket early on. And then just the pace, you know, getting the Raptors to play fast. And honestly, Kyle's been huge in this series because, A, Kyle's always been great against the Celtics. But one of the reasons Kyle's always been good against the Celtics is the Celtics haven't really had a bona fide rim protector this whole time. They get by because they got these big wings. They can sort of keep guys out of the paint. What they can't do with Kyle is Kyle's able to get past and turn the corner and be physical, trap his man behind him, and use that body to get himself free for layups. He's been doing that in all 3 games. I thought he didn't do it enough in game 1. He did it more in game 2, and he did it a lot today. And whoever it was, I mean, the Celtics tried, you know, they had, what, 4 centers out there today, and Kyle scored on all 4 of those guys. You know, when it was Daniel Tice, Kyle was able to sort of, he shows no fear against Daniel Tice. He knows exactly how Tice is. You know, Tice is good positionally, but he's not that big. Kyle's able to finish at the rim. You know, against Robert Williams, who's their pretty much their real shot blocker, although he does some Hassan Whiteside stuff otherwise, but Kyle was able to sort of put his shoulder into Robert Williams, neutralize him, then go in with the left-handed layup. You know, Enes Kanter, I mean, come on, man. You know, Enes Kanter, that's just not going to work. And Kyle was phenomenal today, and he's been the Raptors' best bet to get to the rim. But what I liked with Kyle today was that he kind of showed that you can't get to the rim against this team. You know, you have to take it in really strong, you have to play very forcefully, but the Raptors should be able to get to the rim, and they did that tonight. Because it wasn't like the Raptors shot that well from three. It's still another below-average shooting game. Now, the Raptors didn't shoot 10 of 40 or even 11 of 40. They shot 13 of 40. So that's still bad. That's still 32%. But, you know, what they were able to do is get to the rim on the whole. And Kyle's able to get to the rim. Fred able to get to the rim for that layup at the end there. Mark was able to get to the rim in and out. You know, Pascal sort of... Pascal had a tough first half, but he got to the rim a lot in the second half. Norm got to the rim. I mean, guys were getting to the rim. Kyle Lowry's leading that example. You know what I mean? Kyle Lowry's like that bowling ball just like knocking over the rest of the pins. the way he plays. And he's always been great against the Celtics. He showed out tonight. He was phenomenal. And again, man, I just can't say it enough. The greatest Raptor of all time. You know what I mean? Who shows this kind of heart? 46 minutes and 29 seconds played, man. Think about that. For a 34-year-old point guard, he played the entire second half. And he needed to, and he did everything. And of course, that perfect pass over Taco Fall to OG Anunoby in the corner. And you know what? Kyle obviously got a lot of love in the media afterwards, you know, trying to ask him questions. You know what Kyle does? Kyle just went, you know what? It's all OG's night. You know what I mean? Don't forget the past, whatever. It's OG's night. And that what that quote reminded me of was after that 30-point comeback, you know, after Kyle Lowry was phenomenal in that game. What did Kyle Lowry do in that post-game interview? All he did was talk about how Malcolm Miller got deflections, how Chris Boucher got the three-point shot blocks and dunks at the end to win it. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Terrence Davis with the threes. Like, that's all he talked about. He's unselfish. He is a leader. And you need leaders in the playoffs. You need leaders. And that's why it's especially frustrating to hear about all these narratives. Oh, Kyle Lowry in the playoffs this, Kyle Lowry in the playoffs that. Bro, a lot of your favorite point guards who you think do well in the playoffs, they don't even have titles, okay? You can look at Kyle Lowry and what he's done. You can stack his resume against anybody, okay? He is one of the best point guards of his generation. And, I mean, just look at it tonight. And, look, it's not always pretty. That's the thing. People underrate Kyle because it's not pretty. Kyle Lowry looks like a dumpling. You know, he, like, complains for calls, whatever. You know, his game's not sexy necessarily. But it's effective. It wins. And look at the leadership that he showed in this game. Because, again, the Raptors down 2-0. They lose that game. They have a shit first half. Who is there to carry this team but Kyle Lowry? He's there at the start. He's there at the end. He's there throughout. He's literally on the floor the whole game. Can't say enough about Kyle, man. I love this man so much. Kyle Lowry over everything. And I mean that literally right now. Because he literally threw a pass over 7'5" Taco Fall to the opposite corner. Like, you... Man... That's unbelievable. That's the difficulty of that pass cannot be understated. But it was a great game overall from, you know, just the rest of the guys, especially in that second half. The Raptors really came on strong. I thought this was a great game for Nick Nurse, who went to his zone defense for a lot of the game and a lot of the third quarter, a lot of the fourth quarter there. And that's when the Raptors played their best basketball. The Raptors, you know, gave up 57 points in the first half. They were down at halftime, trailing by 10, and, you know, it was tough. They needed to do something, and they went to the zone defense, especially since with the way the Celtics sort of like to sub. I think they brought Walker out of the game. Let me just double-check the rotations here. No, they kept Walker in the game, but they brought Tatum out for stretches and whatever. But it's just what the Raptors were able to do was go into the zone and sort of just throw the Celtics off the game, you know what I mean? And it worked in game one and two. You know, I thought for at that point he was using the zone because you had two center lineups out there, and maybe you had to protect a weaker defender like Terrence Davis or whoever. You know, sometimes you use zone to sort of protect your weaker defenders, all right? And today, you know, he used a little bit of zone the first half because he went to Matt Thomas for a hot, like, 5 minutes. Matt, actually, 6 minutes. Matt was actually okay defensively in the zone, but couldn't get a shot off. You know, he only had 1-3. He missed that. Semi-open look. Could have knocked it down, but for the whole, the Celtics did a good job of staying home on the shooter. But in the second half, the Raptors went to the zone, and it worked really well. Because I think, the way Jason Tatum is playing right now, he's so good. He's in such a rhythm that you just need to show him different looks. Because whether it's... he's beating you in every single way right now in the pick and roll. You're putting a small guy on him to try to evade the screens and stay attached. He's getting him into his spots. He's putting him on his back. And he's getting into the mid-range and he's scoring from there. Or he's getting to the rim. Or it's a two-on-one. You force him left, which is, you know, he prefers to go right. But if you force him left, he's able to keep his dribble alive. He's able to, you know, wrap around passes to Daniel Tice. He had some nice dimes in the fourth quarter tonight. You play him with a larger wing defender. You know, the screen is there. He's able to sort of get the advantage. He's able to pull up. He's able to, you know, again, get downhill, get to his right hand. He's really, really tough. He's really complete as an offensive player right now. His confidence is sky high, scoring at three levels. So what you need to do right now is just throw different looks at him. And that's what the Raptors were able to do. Because that zone at least made him think. Because he's good on one-on-one. He's really good in the pick and roll right now. And, you know, you just need to show them different looks. That zone forces players to think. You know, you're all of a sudden, instead of trying to attack, you're taking two dribbles and you're trying to dump to the man in the middle. Then you're trying to play and cut around that. It's not the same. The flow of the Celtics offense was completely off in that third quarter. And the Raptors are able to get a couple of stops in that zone. Now, of course, you need the Celtics to miss some threes. And finally today, they missed some threes. They shot 9 of 29 from 3 for 31%. You know, the Celtics can finally get a taste of what it feels like to shoot 31% from 3. Actually, you know, I can't even say that because Raptors shot under 27% in the first two games. So it's still not as bad as the Raptors are shooting. But, you know, you had some guys missing some threes there. Smart cooled off, 2 of 9, 4 of 15 from the field overall. I love that Marcus Smart decided he was going to take over the game, by the way, at some point. It actually is kind of funny to think because, like, yeah, it was great that he took over game two. That's the only reason the Raptors aren't up 2-1 right now. But, you know, that doesn't mean you should do that every game, Marcus. And he tried doing it a couple times. It was not working for him. And you got to give up some threes. You know, Daniel Tice had an open three. You know, guys like Grant Williams got threes. Wanamaker. By the way, screw that dude, Wanamaker, man. Like, I'll get to him in a second, but whatever. Yeah, when you're playing in that zone, you're forcing other guys, you're forcing the Celtics to move the ball. And even though they're a good passing team and stuff like that, because Gordon Hayward is out, and because the Celtics are actually doing a lot right now where they're putting two centers on the floor, they're sort of putting Grant Williams or whoever at power forward, there's just slightly less offense than you would actually expect. And so if you can get Tatum to move the ball, or even if you can get Tatum to try to attack in unconventional ways, I think he can throw him off his rhythm. And I think today, 5 of 18, I think the Raptors did a good job of that. The zone played a big part in slowing the Celtics down. And I like that the Raptors went to it with their starters, because I think that is their best defensive group, period. So if you think that's your best defensive strategy and those are your best defensive personnel, go to the zone. And also, I like that they played it for an extended stretch because it was working well in game one. It was working well in game two. Keep going for it, man, because I'm sure the Celtics have been practicing against the zone. Still not really working. So until they prove that they can score effectively in the zone and beat the Raptors, not just with guys getting, you know, like, whatever, guys who like Smart, Wanamaker, all these other guys hitting threes, that's okay. That's an acceptable result. If you start beating the zone, like you're consistently getting layups and dunks, then yeah, maybe go away from it. But I want to see a lot more of it in game four and beyond for the Raptors. That zone, you know, kept the Raptors in the game, got the Raptors some stops. Raptors able to get the other way and score. And Celtics, you know, went a while without scoring. And so this is where Brad Stevens made a crucial mistake. He brings in Enes Kanter as the center. Now, he didn't play Enes in games one and two. And in game three, because the Celtics were struggling, he didn't play him in the first half either. And he saw the Raptors in his zone. Big brain Brad probably decided, okay, you know what? We need some scoring. The zone is going to have mismatches because, you know, it is what it is. People are going to be in their spots. So maybe you get Enes a couple of post baskets. You know, it's against Serge. Serge is not as good of a post defender. Maybe Enes gets some offensive rebounds because you're out of position for zones. You're not boxing out necessarily. That was the thought process. And it kind of worked from that perspective because you do have Enes Kanter getting a putback. You have Enes Kanter getting a post hook over Serge. You know, there's enough there that you're like, okay, maybe it works. But the reason you don't play Enes Kanter is because he is one of the worst defenders in the NBA at the center position. He does nothing well at the defensive end. I guess he defensive rebounds. But yeah, the Raptors, once they saw that Enes Kanter was in there, you could tell that they were like breathing a sigh of relief because, you know what, they haven't been able to score efficiently. The Celtics defense has been really good at sort of slowing the Raptors down. You know, even guys like Tice, even guys like, you know, even Grant Williams is decent, you know, defensively moves his feet well, is really mobile, is really heavy, is able to do a little bit of a mini Marc Gasol kind of thing. You know, even though, you know, you have Robert Williams, who's actually been blocking shots, the Celtics have been good defensively, okay, at center. When they put Enes Kanter in the game, the Raptors went to pick and roll and attacked Enes Kanter every single time. They literally went at this man like he was a $10 KFC bucket. Okay, they were just like Kyle pulling up for three, Kyle Lagerin to the mid-range for three, Fred driving past for a layup, Fred crossing up Enes, getting by him, forcing the shooting foul. I mean, they went at him every single time. And yeah, that was a big mistake from Brad Stevens because Raptors, you know, defensively, even though they was working, offensively, it was still a struggle. And putting Kanter in just completely opened the floodgates. The Raptors were able to take a lead. Fourth quarter is just kind of nip and tuck affair. You know, the key decision there was you had to buy someone rest. You know, Fred needed a little bit of breather because he played, I think, the entire the entire third quarter. And, you know, he needed a breather midway through the fourth quarter. So you needed to come and bring someone in. Now, of course, the obvious guy you bring in is Norman Powell, right? Because he's obviously a guy who the Raptors usually can count on for something. The issue is Norman Powell was awful in the first half. Just completely terrible. Three quick fouls. Terrence Davis-esque. He looked like a rookie out there, honestly. Kept fouling jump shooters. It was bad for Norm. Bad decision making. I mean, you had Jason Tatum on the baseline pump faking for a contested mid-range shot. Just put your hand up. I get he can make shots, but do not ever foul a mid-range shooter. Ever. That should be honestly, Adam Silver, the next Board of Governors meeting, make sure you put that into the next CBA. If you foul a mid-range jump shooter, you will be suspended for a game or something serious. Maybe like, I don't know, man, like a $2,000 fine or something like that. Because it's really bad. So Norm was making mistakes. And so he was pretty much benched for the whole game. Now, this is funny because Nick Nurse was asked about Norm before the game. He was like, you know what? I got to get more minutes for Norm. It didn't really let him run for an extended stretch. And then he played him even less today. But honestly, Norm was that bad. But with Fred needing just like 2 minutes of rest, okay, they had to bring in Norm. And, you know, I got to give Norm his roses because Norm, even though defensively was still kind of an issue, and he really can't guard Tatum, which is, again, a huge issue, he was able to come in, got to the rim for an and-one, missed a free throw. Then there was this really late, deep three-point shot, maybe like 3 seconds left. You know, Norm just has to pull, and somehow he makes that. After, even though he's 0-for-3 on free throws in the night, somehow he makes a 30-footer. Go figure. And that was enough. He bought Fred that. And a little bit of time Fred was able to come back to the game. And Fred was huge in the fourth quarter, too. You know, he worked 2 3-pointers with Pascal Siakam. You know, those two have great chemistry together. The two-man game between the two of them right there actually does create a lot of the Raptors' best offense in this series. It's not great, efficient offense, but, you know, it's something. And they've always had a good two-man game. Able to find Fred for 2 threes. Fred was able to get in for the layup at the end there. Nice shift. And then the other guy that was really big down the stretch was Pascal Siakam, who, my goodness, Pascal was bad in the first half. He got into early foul trouble, 2 quick fouls. You know, Raptors had to change their sub patterns a little bit. He went the entire first half without a basket. And people were slandering this man. They were calling him playoff P with 2 E's. It was bad. But in the second half, he did get better. Now, granted, there were still some missed jumpers that really made you question if it was all worth it. I mean, it was so bad that Matt Devlin said, "We need this," which if you have watched any of the Patrick Patterson, Damari Carroll years, you will know that that's his go-to call. That's his version of Mike Breen's bang. That's the anti-bang is "we need this," okay? He called out "we need this" for Pascal Siakam, and he missed that three, which is just, again, truly, truly dark stuff to be reminiscent of Patrick Patterson in the playoffs. And, you know, there were some mid-range jumpers that Pascal was getting that he was missing as well. And it was looking bad. But I will give Pascal his credit here because right off the bat, he gets 2 layups to drop in the third quarter. All right, so he's broken out of his little slump and missing the jumpers. But he played a calm, patient game. He stayed engaged in the game. He kept playing. Look, the Raptors don't need Pascal Siakam to be Kawhi Leonard. Nobody's dumb on this team. No one expects that. We all have eyes. We all have common sense. We know that Pascal can't do what Kawhi did last year. That's not the point. The point is the Raptors need Pascal to play at just what Pascal can do. Which, you know, even if the layups don't fall, or even if the threes don't fall, you know, get into space and attack and be aggressive and stay engaged. And, you know, even though Siakam mostly got a lot of garbage buckets, he was able to still be engaged. There was a nice little two-man game that he played with Serge Ibaka for a layup. You know, he found Fred for those 2 threes in the fourth. Just play your game. And then defensively, I love the energy that Pascal brought. Because Pascal brought it defensively, man. I mean, there were so many possessions he got isolated on Tatum one-on-one. Tatum, a really good isolation attacker. But whether it was OG, whether it was Pascal, I feel confident with that matchup. You know you're going to need a screen to come up. And they did a lot of switching. You know, Pascal came out, guarded a lot. He played with a lot of energy. And I wouldn't say this was a good game from Pascal, especially when you do nothing in the first half. But he turned it on when he needed it to. And he did just enough in the fourth quarter there. But Man, an exhausting game. And honestly, if I'm gonna say, it does remind me a little bit spiritually and emotionally of that game three the Raptors had to win in Toronto against the Milwaukee Bucks, when of course that game went into double overtime, and Kawhi played like 53 minutes or something like that. It was ridiculous on one knee, and you know Kyle fouled out. You know Fred had to come in. Fred was struggling at that point. Norm was was playing well. Then Norm fouled out. Kind of similar game to this one, where they're sort of really, really close. It looked like the Raptors are going to lose it, but man, OG and Obi rescues the season. And of course, I'm just so happy for OG, man. I'm so happy because, you know what? If you're looking towards the future, obviously, right? We're focused on right now. We're literally in the middle of the playoffs. But if we're looking towards the future, man, the future of this team, OG's part of that future, man. And he keeps showing that he does not wilt under playoff pressure. And there's a big difference, okay? The playoffs are a step up. The physicality, the pressure, the intensity. It gets to a lot of guys. It has not gotten to OG. Did not get to him as a rookie. Last year, he has the appendicitis. He's unable to play throughout the entirety of the playoffs. And then this year, he gets his chance to really, really come in and make an impact as a starter, as a firm piece of the team. And man, what does he do? 46 minutes played, and he hits the game winner. Fantastic stuff. So I love it. I love it. What a game. Fantastic game. The Raptors obviously needed to take this game. And again, once you win this game, all of a sudden you can change your perspective. Because then you can rationally look back on game two and think, wow, if Marcus Smart didn't suddenly turn into Reggie Miller for a solid 4 minutes of the fourth quarter and hit five straight threes, including an and one, the Raptors would be up 2-1 right now. The Raptors could compete with the Celtics. Game one, I don't know what game one was, but the intensity was not there. That was uncharacteristic, okay? The Raptors can compete with the Celtics. It feels like that needs to be said because people were very pessimistic down 0-2. Pascal struggling, all the stuff. The Celtics are great defenders, whatever, okay? Raptors can compete with these guys, all right? The talent, I would say the Celtics have better talent, but still, the Raptors can compete with these guys. You know, you got Nick Nurse shortening the rotation when he needed to. This ain't no Mike Budenholzer situation. He played his guys. He needed the win. They got the win, period, okay? And a little bit of luck went into it, but damn, also a lot of hard work went into it. And I love that the Raptors, you know what? Honestly, even if they go down, you got to go down swinging, man. I mean, this is the team that we were all proud of all season, right? Comeback. You know, the toughness, the championship mentality. What says championship mentality more than a game winner with 0.5 seconds left in the game, man? Fantastic ending. And yeah, Raptors, they can do it. They can do it. They can do it. And what they need to do is get Norm's scoring a little bit more. All right, continue to defend the way they did in games two and three. That defensive energy, the creativities, the zones. They have a decent formula for what they're going to do, okay? Obviously, the Celtics are good. One of Kemba or Tatum is going to go off, but, you know, that's okay. You know, you can contain that. I would say for the Raptors today, they didn't play their best game either. It wasn't like the Raptors played some perfect game, and all of a sudden that was what it took to beat the Celtics by 1 point at the buzzer. That's not what happened. The Raptors didn't even play that good of a game for most of this game. The Celtics should have won this game, but they didn't, right? Because the Raptors' defense was good. But, like, you look at it. Pascal was below average. You know, Pascal, I think, you know, just was out of it in the first half. You got Norm doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like, the Raptors were sloppy in the first half. You know, Fred had a whole bunch of transition opportunities that turned into offensive fouls. Like, you know, it's not like the Raptors played a perfect game. So the Raptors can do this. They can do this, okay? And they get this game. They have this belief. You have the momentum. Keep going. Keep going. All right, we're proud of you guys. We're supporting you guys. We believe in you guys. All right. In terms of your three stars tonight, first star, you know what? Last game, I gave it to Kyle, even though I thought OG obviously had a better statistical game. Today, Kyle had a better statistical game, but I'm giving it to OG. All right, come on. If you hit the game winning basket to save the whole entire freaking season with 0.5 seconds left, and then you're ice cold, ice blooded, saying nothing, and just being emotionless afterwards. Only OG can do that, all right? So OG, with the game-winning three, you don't even need to know a stat line. It's 12-10-1 with three steals and two blocks, 4 of 8 shootings, 3 of 5 in 46 minutes played. All that matters is that game-winner, baby. First star. Second star, Kyle Lowry, 31 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 13 of 23 from the field, 2 of 8 from the three. You know, he saw other guys were struggling. He said, come, I'll put this team on my back. And that's exactly what they did, man. That's exactly what it is. Salute Kyle Lowry. GOAT Raptor. GOAT Raptor status already cemented, but re-cemented today, okay? Re-cemented once again. Kyle, fantastic. And that pass, I just can't say enough about that pass, man. We honestly, like, I need some like sports science, like physics people to explain the trajectory of that pass. I mean, I need to see, like, you know, like, I don't even, I don't know, man. That was a fantastic pass, man. And then, yeah, third star, I'm giving it to Fred. Fred broke out 25 points today, 9 of 22 shooting. Had a couple of transition opportunities that he blew, but even if he got that to go, I mean, he had a fantastic game. 5 of 13 from the three, he finally got a couple of threes to drop. I know the Celtics fans have been saying, oh, Fred's too short, he has a mismatch. You know, like, all these guys are long. That's why the Raptors can't shoot more than 25% from three. Like, bro, right, just think about this, okay? These guys are 6 foot. They're under 6 foot their whole lives, all right? It's not like they haven't seen a taller guy before, okay? These guys are better than what they have shown in games one and two. And we saw it today. Fred, you know, Kyle breaking out. Obviously, Kyle going to the rim a little bit more. And Fred hitting the three a little bit more. These guys are capable. They're not going to shoot. What were they shooting? Like, I don't know, man. Like, 5 of 40 or something like that from three. Like, they're not going to do that all series. And it's not because the Celtics are just all that good at closing out. You know, oh, Jason Tatum's really long. He's going to contest threes on the top of the floor. These guys were just missing, okay? Please. All right, you know, you didn't think Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond Green were long at the perimeter last year? Get the hell out of here, man. These guys finally hit their shots, and I'm really happy. Fred played a nice game. In terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I don't really know. I mean, I guess it's Kemba Walker because he was so efficient. 9 of 15 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. I don't like how Kemba cunts for fouls. It's really annoying. 29 points. It's really the defense that he played. The three steals. The fact that he had the two charges in transition to stop Fred. He played a really good game. So I'm going to give him the Gerald Henderson. Even though I know he's a star. Obviously, he's capable of giving you 29 points. But, you know, again, the Raptors did a decent job on everyone else. So, yeah, they lived to fight another day. But what a game this was, man. What a game this was. And I was worried, too, because the Raptors canceled practice between game two and three, and I was like, well, that's a weird move. I mean, at minimum, I'd like to see you guys just use practice to shoot threes, get you guys some rhythm, but Nick Nurse obviously knows what's best, probably consulted with the team, saw that they were tired, mentally exhausted. They have the game plan already. You know, let's conserve our bodies so that we can play Kyle Lowry 47 minutes tonight. And it worked! It worked! So, you know what, Mike Bug, whatever his name is, Coach Budenholzer, yeah, maybe pay attention. But, yeah, what a game from the Raptors, man. What a game. And they live to fight another day. And speaking of another day, tomorrow's Friday. And we are doing an extra episode of the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. I swear we planned this before this game. Of course, it worked out perfectly with the game resulting the way it did. So, once again, you can call in to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC, hosted by me and Josh Hart. And, yeah, 12 p.m., noon Eastern time. You can watch live on the Out of Sports Canada YouTube page. I'll send out links tomorrow morning on Twitter if you can find it there. Call in. Tell us what you think of the series. Because Scott, it got such, I mean, if OG missed that shot, it would have been a depressing episode. But I think tone would very, very much change. And, again, the Raptors have what it takes. Again, if it wasn't for if Marcus Smart just hit four of those freaking threes, Raptors would be up 2-1 in this series. Okay, so they have a chance. They have a chance. I know it's still an uphill battle, but they have a chance. They're champs. They showed it tonight. And yeah, I just, it's just, you know, the image of the Celtics going home and replaying that in their minds is very funny to me. And I hope they do it nonstop for the next 48 hours. So that is for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Call in tomorrow. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Salute to KFC for sponsoring, and I'll be back on Friday to take calls, and then on Sunday or on Saturday to recap game four.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.